want to talk about the series, but I also got to talk about your Drake, the Drake column you wrote, the Drake article you wrote, because, you know, honestly, like I was watching, and I made this point, I was sitting beside Richard Deitch at the game yesterday, and I'm watching it, and Richard is the one that kind of obviously I saw Drake, you can't miss him. But, you know, and then we started talking a little bit about Spike Lee and the whole thing. And then I really focused on it. I thought, damn, he's actually rubbing the coach's shoulders. You know, I've never seen this before. And then, you know,
I've never seen that.
No. Yeah. And, you know, old sports writer in me goes, oh, come on, man. You know, basketball gods, sports gods, you know, you wouldn't do that. The Red R back, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then, you know, Sopan, I kind of think the history of this franchise and how for the longest time people in this city and the fan base in this city kind of thought that they were getting screwed a little bit every now and then by the NBA, whether it was the officials or not being a Christmas day or, you know, having the, I don't know, 10:15 a.m. start for the first playoff game. And I thought, you know, it's kind of cool to see Toronto, the Raptors fans, Drake kind of puffing their chest out a bit. My question to you is, where does the line? Because, you know, he did get into it with Kendrick Perkins a couple of years ago. And as you wrote about Reggie Miller and Spike Lee, and God, that's become a part of sports culture in the United States, the choking thing. Where do you think the NBA draws the line here in this? Or do they?
Well, there's two questions there, right? Where does the NBA draw the line, and where is the line drawn? And to me, you know, where the NBA seems to draw the line is with the Kendrick Perkins incident, right? Because afterwards, they came to the Raptors and said, hey, you got to tell Drake to tone it down. For me, you know, as I wrote in the piece, I don't think there should be much of a line. Let Drake run wild. Because, you know what? This is what makes the NBA such a different sport. Because there are no face masks. There are no pads. You're right there on the court, okay? And, you know, when Drake is, running up to players like a madman, it's a reminder of how accessible basketball is as a sport in the fan experience. And in many ways, Drake is living the dream of every, you know, diehard NBA fan. The difference is, of course, he can afford to pay the $5,000 that he pays or whatever for courtside seats. Listen, where does the NBA draw the line? I don't know. I think that's for the Raptors to decide, because look, I don't know if Nick Nurse had an issue with, you know, Drake rubbing his shoulders as he did last night, but I think it makes the games eminently watchable and more watchable, I should say. I mean, a couple of good examples, like, you know, Giannis is missing free throws and Drake is just losing his mind, you know, on the sidelines. He's living the dream in a way, right? And so I know that Drake annoys a lot of people. I think that his NBA-related antics are hilarious, and I want more of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the show. It really is part of the show, and that you're right. I mean, that the thing about the NBA is to me it's one of the most personal sports out there, because you do see the players. First of all, it's not often you run into 7-foot-1 guy in the street, so they tend to stand out automatically, but it's, you see the faces, you see the agony, you see the happiness. And yeah, there's that, you know, the fans are close. Like, that to me is the thing about the game, is you are literally right beside the players at times. You don't get that anyplace else.
Right, and on top of that, what also makes it so interesting is that, look, let's say you could accomplish this with football or baseball, you know, football, there's so many players on the field at once, mm-hmm. right? Whereas in basketball, you know, you have, you know, one player can make all the difference. One player has so much more of an impact. So there are less players on the court, and fans are so close to those players. And so, you know, when you see Drake, you know, doing his thing, there's a real level of intimacy involved that exists that is unique to basketball. It's a reminder of what makes basketball such a special sport, in my opinion.
Sopan, do you buy into the argument that basically we have been spending the Eastern Finals and the Western Finals in the middle of a referendum on who the best player in the NBA is, and we're down to Steph, Kawhi, Kevin Durant, obviously, and Giannis?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's much doubt about that, in that, look, the Eastern Conference Finals has been mostly about Kawhi versus Giannis. Of course, there are, you know, several role players that are, you know, making their mark on the series. I mean, look, last night, you know, Marc Gasol had 17 points. You had, you know, you know, Powell off the bench hitting jumpers. But yeah, this is the series that very much comes down to stars. At the end of the day, especially deep in the playoffs, the NBA is a stars-driven league. The league is about Steph Curry. The league is about LeBron James. The league is about, you know, Kevin Durant and Kawhi and Giannis, and the list goes on and on. But it's a very star-heavy league. And so, and that especially comes into focus deep in the playoffs because, you know, less bench players get time, you know. I mean, the other day, Kawhi played something like, what, 52, 53 minutes, whatever mm-hmm. that was, in that overtime game. At the end of the day, you know, when it gets into the playoffs, it becomes about the stars because the stars play more minutes and they have the ball more. The game slows down. And so in this series in particular, you're seeing every time Kawhi gets the ball, if he's in the paint, he's surrounded by three or four defenders. And then, you know, Giannis takes the ball the other way and he can't Eurostep from half court anymore because he's got, you know, Nick Nurse and 18 Raptors between him and the basket. And so, I would say, and whoever can kind of navigate that the best, they see their reputation up the most after a playoff series. So, yeah, and they call these legacy games or legacy series, right? Because there are legacies at stake here. And so for Giannis, can he, for a guy who can't shoot the ball all that well, you know, can his style of play, which at its best is about bulldozing defenders, you know, running the break in the open floor. Is that good enough to get a team to the finals? And the flip side to that is Kawhi Leonard. You know, is he, you know, he obviously is such a great, great all-around player, but is he good enough to be the best player on a team that goes to the finals? And those are the legacies that are at stake in these playoffs.
You know, Tim and Sid, one of our sister shows, had Kenny Smith on a couple of days ago. From TNT, and they were talking about the shot, the Kawhi shot. And I hadn't, you know, we kind of have a rule on this show that we don't spend a lot of time worrying about what Kawhi is going to do next year because we're kind of living in the moment. And I've actually kind of fudged that rule for the past 2 days, unfortunately. But Kenny made a Kenny put it in a way that, Sopan, that I hadn't thought of. And I realized, you know what, this is a former player talking. And his point was, look, and he was sort of addressing the whole Kawhi going on next year. He goes, you hit that shot, you're a Raptor. Like he said, how do you look Masai Ujiri in the eye if you're Kawhi Leonard and say, I'm going to LA? Like, and I, you know, and that's, I'm distilling it to, you know, to sort of the simplest form. I hadn't thought of that before that, you know, this guy is, he's a part of Toronto sports history. He's a part of Raptors history. I mean, they may have to put him on the front of the press guide next year, even if he's not with the team. What's your read?
No, it's true.
What's your read on this situation, though? Like, from a distance, what's your read on it?
So let me say this. I think Kenny makes a great point. However, Kenny played a very different league, and players viewed free agency very differently. They use free agency differently. You know, top players today are far more likely to request trades if they don't feel like they're in the situation they want to be in. And at the end of the day, Kawhi Leonard did not sign with the Raptors. He got traded to the Raptors. And that makes all the difference. So, and the thing is, in 2019, compared to, let's say, 1994, 95, when Kenny Smith played, people have shorter memories. We really do, and you know, maybe it's because of social media and the internet, and so you're only as good as what you've done. You know, what have you done for me lately? Essentially, so for Kawhi, and no one knows what he's thinking. No one. I mean, he doesn't talk about it. You know, his people haven't really leaked anything to any reporter, so no one really knows what he's thinking. Could Kawhi resign? Of course, but no one really knows. I will say, just the general kind of, as an NBA note, look, we have this history now of several stars in recent years that are using the leverage they have to move around. Anthony Davis, Kyrie, you know, the list goes on. LeBron, you know, the list goes on and on. And so if Kawhi wants to use leverage and put himself in what he thinks is a better situation, he's going to do that. For me personally, and just speaking for myself, the best basketball situation for him, I think, is in Toronto. The fans love him. Very smart front office leadership. A good young core that, you know. But But we don't know what Kawhi wants. Mm-hmm. Like, Kawhi might have ambitions outside of basketball. So, for example, one of the reasons LeBron is in L.A. is because he has film and television aspirations. Now, does Kawhi strike me as wanting to do that? No. However, we don't know. Maybe right. Kawhi says, well, in 5 years, I want to retire, and I want to be an executive producer of a bunch of things, just like Kevin Durant and Draymond and all these guys are doing. We just don't know. And we're probably not going to know until Kawhi makes an announcement, essentially. I don't think there's going to be this long courting process as there has been with other players in the past.
Yeah, I don't see Kawhi going on ESPN with the decision, and sitting down and opening up. And Penn, that's one of the things I find fascinating about him. And I'm not around the team every day. I'm not a beat writer, so I'm not around the team every day. But, man, it is so rare in this day and age to have an athlete who's a closed book. Like, he is a closed...
Yeah.
He may have made his mind up 5 months ago, and we don't know about it. But all we know is every night, punches the clock. Well, I mean, there was a load management thing, so he wasn't punching the clock every night. But in the playoffs, he punches the clock, he plays hurt, appears to be a good teammate. As far as we know, was, good with the fans, all that stuff. He is maybe the most mysterious superstar that I can remember in a long time.
Could not agree with you more. And he's in some ways the opposite. Another guy I found very mysterious, but for in the complete opposite way, was a guy. It was Kevin Garnett. So mm-hmm. Kevin Garnett on the floor was very expressive. Cursing all the time. He's yelling. He's trash talking. He's every dunk, doesn't matter whether he's up 20 or down 20. He's just losing. And I'd always wonder, wait, what's the deal with Kevin Garnett? Is this who he is? Is he hiding? Is he masking something? What's the deal here? Kawhi is the opposite. Right, in that he rarely owns. And now I wonder, wait, what's the deal here? What's he like off court? Is he fun to be around? But you know what? We both know coworkers that come in, they do their job, and they leave. That's it. That's the extent of their engagement with the profession or whatever. I have New York Times coworkers who are quiet. They come in, they write their articles, and they leave and go for the day. We never see them. You know what I mean? And that could be Kawhi. And I just don't know, we just don't know anything about it. And you're right, that does make him an interesting superstar. It's almost like how uninteresting he is what makes him so interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of where we are in society, that the fact that a guy can just kind of do his job and not, this is probably what George Mikan and those guys were like,
But you know what? What's great, what's interesting about Kawhi is that is such a departure from where we are in the NBA today. Compare what Kawhi is to like Damian Lillard hits his last second shot in the first round of the playoffs, and he's literally waving Russell Westbrook off the floor. After any time Joel Embiid has a good game, he's going on Instagram. I mean, he's talking trash about whoever guarded him in that game, whether it's Andre Drummond or whomever, Draymond Green, whatever. Draymond Green is another guy who is like, loves showing up opponents, or mm-hmm. Steph Curry is laughing in a referee's face. This is very much, as I write in that Drake piece, this is a trolls league. And Kawhi Leonard is a top five player in a league that's full of trolls, and he is the opposite of a troll. He just does his job and goes home.